portion of the service, and Lord, that it might be an honor to you and glorify your name. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I had somebody request this, and so I thought, okay, you know, it sounds okay, and I guess I'll do it. But I was fascinated by this creation moment, and I really wanted to get like 2 or 3 pages worth of this creation moment, but I didn't want to overdo it. So it's going to be just a brief synopsis of the ear. You know, there are in our ear 3 bones that are so small they can be placed together on a penny. I don't know if there's one up there of that. Yeah, there's the guy. That's the bones encased in plastic there. These 3 bones are called the stapes, the malleus, and the incus. I didn't make that up. Fancy names, but they do a great deal of good. The smallest of these is the stapes. The stapes, is that okay? I get corrected here. Stapes and let's see, of these 3 bones. Now, when you get to where you're dizzy, you're feeling like you're in a merry-go-round, it's the inner ear, and it has a direct connection with the brain, and it means that you're losing the body's equilibrium, and the ear has an amazing connection to that. When things are not right in the inner ear, you're going to get dizzy. Now, every time you catch a cold, you ever wonder why you lose your ability to talk? Sometimes, you know, it gets to that point where you can't talk. Well, it's because the middle ear is connected to the throat by a tube named the Eustachian tube. This tube is responsible for a striking equilibrium between the body pressure and the atmospheric pressure. Now you can see that in the picture there, middle ear and the inner ear and all that. It's very, very complicated, and you'll get the picture in a little bit. The human ear is divided into 3 parts, the outer ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. Each part has a separate function. The outer ear is the visible part of the ear, and its function is to direct sound further inside the ear. The outer ear ends where the eardrum starts. The area after the eardrum is the middle ear, which is known as the oval window. The middle ear consists of 3 tiny bones, as mentioned earlier. The sound that enters the outer ear makes the eardrum vibrate. These vibrations are picked up by these 3 bones, which actually form a bridge. The last bone is the stapes in order of arrangement inside the ear. The stapes transmits the vibrations through the oval window. The middle ear is the place where the sound gets amplified. Now there's the bones again. You can see how they relate to a penny. Now, finally comes the inner ear. The sound transmitted to the oval window moves into the inner ear, which is actually a network of passages and tubes. This network is often referred to as the labyrinth. This inner ear has a small snail shell-like organ known as the cochlea, right? Got it? Cochlea, where the sound is transferred into, get this, electrical impulses. These impulses are then sent to the brain's auditory center using auditory nerves, and we can hear. Sounds pretty easy, right? I couldn't believe how complicated this is. In the inner ear, the sound waves move into a liquid medium. The tiny hair cells present in the inner ear react to the sound waves traveling through the liquid medium. This causes hair cells to release chemicals that are carried by the auditory nerves to the brain. Well, that's pretty simple. I'm glad that evolution could make that happen, right? I just can't believe it. Anyway, human ear function continues even when a person sleeps. Did you know that? The ears continue to pick up sound, but the brain blocks it out. Yeah, last night, Kathy goes, maybe your brain blocked it out. Yeah. This is really interesting too. The human ears are self-cleaning organs. Don't have to take care of them, you know, they're easy to take care of. They produce what is known as earwax. We all have that, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I have, up to this point, have been cleaning my ears from that earwax, right? Because, you know, yucky. But it says that there are tiny hairs in the ear canal which are known as cilia, right? Cilia are responsible for pushing the wax out. Too much of anything is not good, so too much wax is not good either, but too much earwax presses against the eardrum and impairs hearing ability, so you've got to go and get that cleaned out by a doctor, because did you know that earwax, though disgusting, is very important, because it protects the ear from dust and friction. Frequently cleaning earwax can lead to deafness by damaging the tympanic membrane. I didn't know that. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I might not be hearing as good as I could hear because I've been doing that. So I'm going to stop. I'm not going to clean my ears anymore. So if you see wax in them, just kind of go, oh, Bill. Anyway, you know, it is amazing to me, God's creation, He never ceases to blow my mind. And the ears are no different, because this is just, it's an amazing thing. How in the world, you know, you're hearing my words only because it's making vibrations on your eardrums, translating into those three little bones vibrating against the oval window that vibrates in the liquid that sends electrical impulses and little chemical whatever into my brain, and then it says that these are words or music or just noise in general or whatever it might be. And that just blows my mind how it can translate into that. And I don't care how long that evolutionists say, billions of years or whatever, it can't happen unless it was designed to happen. And God is a great creator, because He could have given us ears like elephants flopping around. What was that you said? You know, wouldn't it be even worse if you lost your hearing and you had big ears like that? And then how would you put an ear, you know, whatever, a hearing aid in there? That would. So God proportioned us just right and gave us two. Because we could have had one. How would that look?
Hey, baby.
Have one ear? No. We have two ears. And it balances our face out so that whatever face you have looks better. Just think of it that way. What a great creator. He could have put two noses on us. Yeah, thank God for that. If two noses on me, my head would be flopping over. All right. Serious note now. Let's go to the sermon. You know, I have been toying around with this for a long while, God has just been moving to make me, to cause me, to encourage me, to nudge me, to get the fire going again. You know, it seems like as time goes on, we just kind of lose that fire. You know, the flame gets weak. And, you know, I took it out of a story, the people of Israel. You know, they were slaves for 400 years. Slaves for 400 years. Think of that, 400 years of slavery. I mean, that'd be your entire lifetime. You would know nothing more than slavery. And for 400 years, your ancestors, your children, all those in that 400 years would be slaves. That's all you knew, is slavery, until Moses. Moses was given a mission. He told the people that God was going to free them. Now just imagine that. 400 years of slavery. That's all you ever knew. And then this guy shows up. Well, we know he's Moses. You know, we knew about him. He was the one who killed an Egyptian. And then he ran for his life and left us here. And now he comes back and says, God's going to take you out of here. And he's using me to do it. And they're going to look at him and think, why should we believe you? Well, God sent him with signs that accompanied him. And Aaron came alongside of him, and they performed these certain miracles and things to kind of prove that God was with them. And the people followed. They got to the Red Sea and were stopped. And then what did they do? They looked at Moses and said, well, what, do you bring us here to die? What's wrong with you? We could have stayed in Egypt and been just fine. We had three square meals. But he passed through the Red Sea. Moses put his staff in the Red Sea and it parted. They walked over on dry land. Just imagine that sight, seeing that. You know, walking along, maybe touching the water. Well, you know, having your parents go, don't do that! You might make it come in on us. You might ruin it. And then they get onto the wilderness. You know, the water crushes down on the Egyptians and the army that was chasing them and drowns them. And you're on the other side and you're like, wow, what an amazing miracle. And they travel along to the border of Canaan. And they send 12 spies in the Canaan. And 10 of them come back and say, no way. Can't do it. Too many people. Big people. I mean, it's a great land, but it's protected. There's no way we can do it. There's giants. And 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, they said, we can do it. I mean, look what God brought us through. Look what he's done. All the miracles. Don't forget. God can do whatever he wants to do. And they said, no, I don't think so. Stop dead in their tracks. So I want you to go to Deuteronomy 250, page number 250 in your pew Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Start in verse 29. Verse 29. This is Moses' last sermon. There's 5 actually in this book. And these are the last words of Moses, because Moses could not go into the promised land, as you remember. We won't go into that. Verse 29 says, then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire at night and a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give you, to give your forefathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants land to set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua, the son of Nun. You know, here, they were stopped dead. Because they got to the border after all the things that God had done. And they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. As I thought about that, I saw myself. I saw we as Christians in that as well. Because we all go through the same thing. You know, we can all look at Israel and say, oh man, what's wrong with them? You know, God is good. But we see God do some pretty amazing things in our lives, and He's brought us through some amazing times. But sometimes something stops us. Something just is like a wall in front of us. It's unbelief and not trusting Him. I want you to go to Proverbs 9:34 in the Pew Bible. 934, Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you have memorized this verse. I've memorized it too, and I still fail, unfortunately. Verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." What I see there is it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. We're all going, yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to trust the Lord. But the second part of that says, and lean not on your own understanding. Because our own understanding becomes the obstacle. It gets in our way. Because we're saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah, I'm trusting Him. But then, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, finances don't match up. And you know, it says to give to the church, but I don't know about that. And then we see somebody in need, and we're like, I don't really have enough. And yet He tells us that we can do that. He'll supply our needs. But then we kind of look at, but my life, you know, I got so much going on. He says, get in the Word daily. You know, stay true to Him. As Scripture says, you know, don't forsake the assembly together. But then we think, but you know, I got this going on and that going on, and I just don't have the time, and I, you know, but it says, don't lean on your own understanding. In my head, two and two doesn't make it. But God doesn't go by that. He goes by His law, and His law transcends even human understanding. Our human understanding can't part the Red Sea. Our human understanding can't bring manna from the sky. Our human understanding can't bring salvation and eternal life to any one of us. That's why we can't lean on our own understanding. We have to trust God. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, to give us freedom from the penalty of sin, and to have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. It says, all who believe in Him become children of God. So, we either trust in Him or we trust in our brain that says, well, I just can't understand how that can happen. But we don't have to understand it. God said it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, every single way, acknowledge Him. Everything you do. Everywhere you go. We had a problem this morning. I was punching the computer up and blank screen. It started to come up really good. And I entered the first password and then it just went blank. No screen. I'm thinking, what do those women do? No, they didn't do anything because it worked last night. When I was putting everything in the computer, it worked just fine. Then I shut it down and everything. Then I come here this morning and now it's not working. Kathy comes over, what's wrong? I said, look it. There's no screen. And I turned it off and I turned it on and it starts like normal. I punch in the password and then the screen goes blank. I'm going, man. Kathy says, all right, let's pray. All right. I'm trying to fix it, but let's pray anyway. We're going to pray. Okay. So, simple prayer. Lord, get Satan out of here. Leave us be. Fix the problems, please. So I'm going, all right, I don't see what happens. Where's the string? I said, boy. Why do we trust in ourselves? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in everything. Why do I say, well, I can fix this thing? Because I'm the man. Right? I can do it. I know about this stuff. Trust in God. It was a lesson. It was an object lesson for today. Because God wanted to show me, He said, look, you say you trust in me in everything, but you don't do it. And I find that we all do the same thing. Whether it be at work or whether it's at home or wherever it is, we go along in our life and we just do our thing. And God is the furthest from our mind. I want you to go to Psalm 20 as we continue. I don't want to belabor this one too much because it's embarrassing to me. Psalm 20, 788 in your Pew Bible. 788, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 20, verses 6 and 7 says, now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He answers him from His holy heaven. With the saving power of His right hand, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. I find myself in that same verse. Some trust in chariots and horses. I get in the car and I hit the button and it starts. But what if it doesn't? I go home, I turn the water on, and it runs. But what if it didn't? I turn on the heat. Right now we're thinking of that, right? Turn on the heat and expect the house to be warm. But what if it's not? Do we trust in God even in those circumstances? We trust in the name of the Lord our God. They, those that don't, are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand. How? If the heat doesn't run, if the water doesn't go, if the car doesn't run, you know, what do we do in those situations? You know, how do we stand up? Because that's not the end of my faith. It's not the end of my life. I have eternal life in Him. I have the God who gives me power to do beyond what I can think or do. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, 8:12. Just a few pages more. Psalm 40, look at verses 4 through 8. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. You know what this says? It's a little bit of a prophecy about Jesus, you know, because He offered Himself up to come to this planet to die for us. But it tells us here that we're blessed when we trust in God. We're blessed. And you know what? Trust is not sitting on our rear end and watching TV. Trust is doing. It says here, sacrifice and offerings you didn't desire. Because God's not interested in our action. Like that we're going to give this and we're going to do that. for him. He's not interested in the sacrifice so much as he's interested in our hearts. He wants us. Our words and our pious actions mean nothing. It's what's in our heart. Do I trust him with all my being? You know, when things don't go the way we want them to go, do I trust him? Will I still obey him? Will I still step out and do his will? Regardless. I talked to many people in the nursing home, and one lady in particular, I was talking with her, and she said, I'm laid up in this bed, what can I do? I said, you can pray. That you can do always. You can pray for me, you can pray for others. Is that all? Is that all? That's a lot. How many of us spend all our waking hours praying? And here's a lady that could do that. She had nothing else. She could read the Bible. She could pray. She could trust God with everything. So, you know, what is it? What is his will, really? It's to seek him, to search his word. God will let us know what he wants us to do for him. And then it's up to you. Are you willing to do it? You know, Moses, he resisted at first, remember? He said, who am I? And God says, you're the one I chose. That's who you are. Because I am who I am. God doesn't change. It's us. You know, we got to come in line with him. He's waiting for us. Because when we do what he wants us to do, when we get lined up with his will, there is nothing that we cannot do. Are you willing to step out? Even when things don't look like they're going to work out, are you willing to step out? You know, I couldn't help but also think about the building here. We started this building with faith and $100,000. That's all we have. We ended up with a $3 million building, no debt. And I watched that progress, that project. I watched this project from start to finish, was participating in it as well, as many of you others. You can't tell me that God can't do something. But I fail when it comes to little things sometimes. Typing up that computer. And sometimes I just need somebody to come up and say, have you prayed about it yet? You trusted God for it? I want us to go to one more scripture before we close. Matthew chapter 19, 15:01. I want you to see this verse. It's only one verse. 15:01 in your pew Bibles, chapter 19. In Matthew, one little verse. Because what was talked about is the salvation and those that, you know, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God or nearly impossible. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and whether that's a gate or an actual needle for the remark. Disciples are like, you know, who can be saved? In verse 26, Jesus says the perfect answer. He looked at them, he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, this was talking about salvation, and Jesus first said, with man, this is impossible. This salvation issue, this is impossible. But then he said, with God, all things are possible. There is nothing that is impossible for God to do. But we have to be willing to trust him. Will you trust him? That's the big question. And I got to tell you, after that experience with the computer, I will for at least this week. You know, we have to understand that we are frail. We're human beings, and we'll go along. That's why we need Sunday. That's why we need Wednesday. That's why we need time in the Word. That's why we need time in prayer, because we get worn down by everything that's going on, and we get in, and we're all rushed, and that's what was happening with the service. I was rushing around, doing this, doing that. Come to the computer. Oh, come on! Just work for once. And I forgot all about trusting God. That's why we need each other. That's why we need Christian to Christian to encourage us, to challenge us, to come alongside, to pray for one another, and to lift each other up. Trust Him. And keep trusting Him. I'd like us to just have a word of prayer quick, and then we'll go to our last song. Father, thank you so much for encouraging us, to challenge us with trusting you. Lord, sometimes we just don't, and I know. But I pray that there's someone that reminds us. I pray that your Spirit nudges us and reminds us. I pray that this sermon will come back and remind us. When we start to lack that trust, when we start to be filled with unbelief, when the doubts come, Lord, I pray that you remind us. Trust you in everything. Nothing's impossible for you. We can give it to you. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask now that you would just help us to worship you continually throughout the rest of this day and this week. Lord, give us opportunity to share this with other people and to encourage them with these words as well. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.